Hello again, everybody. This is Lance Russell with Championship Wrestling with another big week. Join us right now.
Hey,
when you tend to let the expletives fly.
What? I'm going to leave that in as a show intro. Hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulligan.
I'm Mark Whitman.
This is the Wrestling Podcast, where we talk about the wrestling you grew up with, the wrestling you need to watch now, and stuff. And we're recording this. You're listening to this on a Monday. We have just completed the tournament, the Ultimate Fantasy Wrestling Tournament. 13 parts in total.
Was it?
One of the most fun, in the history of our show, Mark, it is one of the most fun things I have ever done. And as I have gone back and listened to those episodes, because you and I got to the Final Four, Misawa versus John Cena, Undertaker versus Bill Goldberg, and never would have thought in a million years
that
would be our Final Four. But to go back and listen how it was booked, your booking, my ability to type up the show notes about your booking.
Don't sell yourself short. Somebody's got to hook these microphones up.
Right, right. What was great, I go back, there's two first-round matches that created a lot of buzz in our Facebook group, The Wrestling You Grew Up With. Uh-huh. If you're listening to this... If you're listening to this, then you need to join that group. It's a great group. You need to know. We talk about the wrestling you need to wrestling grew up with, wrestling watch now, and stuff. So it's not just like it's a pretty broad thing.
Unless I get a chance to get in there and delete the post about the current wrestling,
or Roman Reigns sucks, or the Royal Rumble sucks. Da da da. I totally lost my train of thought, which is typical for me.
I think you were going to talk about why they should join the patrons group.
Okay. Well, let me. So there were two upsets in the first.
I knew that would get you back on track.
Thank you. AJ Styles beats Andre the Giant. And JYD beating Kurt Angle. And that caught everybody off guard. And I think you said it best.
That's why you do that kind of
stuff. Yes, because you don't listen. If we were booking it like everybody else, the Final Four would be in Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes, Hulk Hogan, and Steve Austin.
Right.
And we've done that.
Maybe with The Rock and Triple H or somebody like that thrown in, maybe could have filled one of those four. But I get your point.
I loved it. I hope you had as much fun as I did, because I loved the blind draw.
I did, and it was fun to think, because people love the fantasy matchup stuff.
Yeah.
And it was fun to look at it and see, man, I just – because it was a blind draw. And
yeah.
If we'd had set out to rig the finish of the tournament,
then
we would have set it up a different way. But doing a blind draw, you get sometimes in the first round.
Yeah.
Shawn Michaels and Randy Savage.
That was in the qualifying tournament.
Right, just in the qualifying tournament, we got that match. So one of them's gone automatically. We got somewhere in one of the rounds early on was Hulk Hogan and The Rock. So you know that one of those two, you know, one of those two's gone early on.
Steve you know, that Austin was in Harley the preliminary round, too. The
I
Rock wasn't
was.
In this tournament.
Yeah. So, like, next year, we took the two guys who – who won the tournament and have decided that they'll face each other in the qualifiers next year.
Or,
so one of the two guys...
Well, first we'll put them in the first round.
Right, they get a bye. They actually get into the tournament. They don't have to... But they're in the first round. They'll face each other. So we're guaranteed next year that one of the two guys that's in the finals won't be...
Yeah,
won't make it to the finals next year.
And if you're following it, the story until... December of this year, the story everybody's going to be following on social media is, can The Undertaker come back from the loss to Mitsuhiro Misawa? The questions that he had an easy road to the finals, and they're questioning The Undertaker just as much in our fantasy booking as they are in real life at this point.
Yeah.
So we're getting ready to do a tag team tournament. Let me just go ahead and throw this out there, and then on this episode today – we are actually going to answer some questions from our patron group. And we want to talk to you about our patron group as Mark drinks his distilled water. Hey, if you're listening to this and you are a medical professional, all right? If you're a medical professional, I need you to tweet me at Heath Mulliken.
At the DBK show.
Is it safe to drink distilled water?
Yeah, that was like so weird. I show up today because you were like, what do you got that water for? Because I like to drink water. Well, like we used to drink Mountain Dew.
We duh.
But Mountain Dew really does
kill you.
Kill you, but it constricts the stuff in your throat. We talking all day. Water kind of keeps you hydrated. It keeps you. But I buy these bottles of water. They're like $2. So I found this gallon jug of water for like $1. And I'm figuring this will be great. But it's distilled water. And you and my wife both were like, why are you drinking distilled water? So I'm thinking, I've never heard that it was not okay to drink distilled water. I'm drinking it.
Yeah.
So I don't. Certainly they wouldn't sell it on the shelves with the water at the grocery store if it would kill you.
I don't know, man.
Of course, they sell everything else.
I don't know.
They sell Drano. I don't think you're supposed to drink it.
But today, in this recording session, we're going to be getting into the tag team tournament. And I've got a bunch of tag teams to go through. We got to think about the format for that. Because we got some guys that are in multiple teams. So how are we going to work that? And we just got a lot of logistic things. Before I go any further, though. Got to give, we're talking about patrons, but we're talking about some other things. I want to give a shout out. Mm-hmm. If you follow us online, if you are in the Facebook group, you know Mark and I just got a really sweet logo. Yeah. We actually got two logos from Polywanna Pixel. They are a graphic design studio. They create apps. They create video games. They do all sorts of stuff. And they're in Seneca, South Carolina, a local business. And that's why we went with them. You guys know we support local business. Pauline's Place, Black Smokehouse,
McDonald's. That's funny. We were both on that.
But Polywanna Pixel. And so I want to give them a shout out here. They're on Facebook, Instagram. Their website is polywannapixel.com. Polly is spelled P-O-L-Y. And just absolutely great work. They gave us this artwork for a tremendous price. I have for less work and for not as good artwork, I have paid twice as much, three times as much, four times as much as what we paid for this.
And it was good. Like my sister, I sent her the stuff and she goes, hey, they even got the gap in your teeth.
Really?
Yes, they did. I'm glad that that's what you noticed.
I was the final product, showed it to my kids, and they were like, oh.
My wife pops, she's like, I want a t-shirt.
Yes.
With that. I see, you know what I think would look cool is a black t-shirt with the logo in orange. For some reason, I just think that'd look really cool.
Yes. I do think that would look cool. So, hey, we can talk to our friends at Sons of Steel Tees.
Yeah.
Maybe get that done. So I want to send a shout out to Chris Cartledge and all the folks over there. Let me give you the phone number, too, if you're in the upstate. 864-885-9480 is their phone number. Again, in Seneca, South Carolina. Just thank you guys so much. It's awesome.
Man, it is awesome, man. Everybody I've shown it to has thought it was great.
We also want to send a shout out. You know, we're doing, we're taking questions from some of our patrons. And one of our patrons that just upped his pledge is a gentleman named Brandon Lewis, who's a big fan of the show. But he's also started his own web show. Mm-hmm. So if you go on YouTube, look for Wrestle Tech, and Brandon is doing some fantasy booking of his own where he kind of lays out storylines. There will be a link to his YouTube channel in the show notes, but I want to thank Brandon. And
Brandon.
Mark, fill some time here. There's one Patreon.
Your computer kicking around over there.
Sorry. My computer's like 900 degrees, so I hooked up this fan to it. Let me, there is one Patreon that we keep forgetting to mention. We have mentioned so many of the guys, and there's one guy who he was early on. And so when I'm looking at the list, He's like, at the bottom of the screen, it was just an oversight. No disrespect intended, but I'm looking up his name now. Mark, will you tell everybody? Mark, will
I'm
you
looking up his name now.
I mean, I'm just being serious. I mean, I should have done this before. But Mark, talk about
Christian Donahue. It's not Christian Donahue.
It is. I think Chris is the guy's name.
Okay.
It's like, oh dear heavens of mercy. Justin Donahue is his name.
I know that. It's fun for me to. I say his name differently every time I say it.
Well, Christopher Fiore.
Yeah, yeah.
Christopher Fiore, I am so sorry. Accept my humble apologies.
Did he send you a message? And
no, he no.
He should have. I'll do it for him. How dare you, sir?
I cannot believe I besmirched his name.
You have access to all of this stuff. You know, I can't even see anything.
That's right. I keep you out of the...
I don't get any of the money.
No.
What do you mean? To be fair, I haven't spent any money in 3 years, so I guess it's okay.
speaking of, spoiler alert, guess what we're talking about at lunch?
Wait, what are we talking about at lunch?
I don't want to spoil it for you. So anyway, when you become a patron, patreon.com/doubledropkick, we put you into, it's a secret Facebook group.
Oh, it's super secret.
Super secret. And a lot of Facebook groups, including ours, the wrestling you grew up with, there are a lot of people in there, a lot of posts, a lot of noise, okay?
There is, and it's like this, man. You and I talk, when you have so many people being added every week, my real name, for those that don't know,
yeah,
is Ronald.
Right.
You know this.
Yes.
In all my life, people have called me Ronald McDonald. And every time somebody says it, they say it as though they're the first one that ever considered calling me Ronald McDonald. And the Facebook group is kind of, and I'm not knocking anybody, and that's not what I'm doing here, but I am saying it's the truth. You get 1,000 people join.
Yeah.
Somebody thinks that they're the first person that's ever had the thought that maybe Mr. Perfect should have had a run with the WWF title.
Right.
So they want to post that.
Yeah.
So if you're in that group, you see that a lot. And you can't, it's oftentimes the intelligent, deeper conversations about wrestling get lost.
Yes.
The other night, I'm watching Raw for the first time, and I see something about Seth Rollins does something. I didn't care that he did it. Wasn't offended that he did it.
Yeah.
I know he's not really going to do it.
Yeah.
The point was, if I'm trying to successfully book someone as a babyface, do I have them threaten someone's child?
Yeah.
To me, that's not something a babyface would do.
Right.
And I was just amazed that nobody wanted to have that conversation.
Right. Right.
They wanted to focus on the fact that I was upset about it. And I was not upset about it. I was not offended by it.
Like you were, like they thought you were going to call the police.
Right, right. Like I was saying, all right, for the intelligent wrestling fan out there, let's have a discussion about this. Like, how do you successfully, and that was just lost.
Yeah. And it became a peeing contest.
And that's fine. So you're not going to see me post a whole lot in the group anymore for that reason, because it's not worth it to me.
Correct.
But if you're listening to this and you want to be in a wrestling group with me and Heath and some other fans who are interested in having deeper conversations about some things.
Right.
That it's not constant memes about how John Cena and Roman Reigns suck, or
correct,
this guy's overrated, Hulk Hogan sucks, so all that's fine.
Yeah,
but if you want to be in a group where we kind of go beyond that, and the conversation is a little bit more in depth, then you'll also go ahead.
Who's your favorite tag team?
Right. You're not going to get that stuff in the group. You're going to get, hey, and we'll answer this question here in a little bit. Like, is it easier or harder for a second or third generation athlete to get into the wrestling business? The expectations that are put upon them, and the easier entrance into it. A lot of times, there's an easier entrance to get into the wrestling business, but there's more expected of them.
Yeah.
So there are all these pitfalls and all these advantages. So we're having discussions about stuff like that, things that you and I are going to talk about here today. So that's one thing. Another thing you'll get once a week on Mondays, I put a post up and pin it, and you ask me anything you want to ask me.
Yeah.
It's an ask me. And it doesn't have to. Somebody asked me the other day, Hofer said, hey, what are three movies that when you think about great movies, or when people have a great movie conversation, sometimes they forget these movies.
Yeah.
So I'm actually going to incorporate that into my show every week. I'm doing a solo show.
Yeah.
In the group, just for the members of the group. And it's called Carrie's Corner.
Yeah.
And so I will be answering everybody's questions. And then once a week, I will suggest a movie or something like that. Because I think he told me once I suggested L.A. Confidential, you and him both were like, I forgot all about that movie.
Yeah.
I've
seen it and I don't remember.
Right. You borrowed my copy. He said he was going to watch it. So I'm doing that. And then also every week, I pick a topic.
Yeah.
And I post exclusively about that topic.
Yeah.
The first week, somebody had asked me about heels, so I just posted heel work.
Yeah.
Some, like, good examples of heel turns or heel promos or whatever. The second week, it was all about the Great Muta.
Yes.
And I didn't do any Kijimuto stuff.
Yes.
It was all Great Muta.
Yeah.
So we posted Muta versus Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, this is matches. This is stuff that even in the 3 years I've been doing the show with Mark, this is stuff he hasn't shared with me.
Right.
This, like, the mini documentary, The Birth of the Great Muta.
Yeah, that's like a 20-minute little mini movie that they made.
And
it is insane.
It's
very
crazy.
Surreal. So that was my fuck up. This week, I'm in the middle of, by the time you hear this, I'll be moved on to another topic. But this week, I'm posting Mitsuhiro Misawa matches. And I'm now ramping up. Like, I started out with, you know, Misawa versus Hansen. Today, like, we're making the turning point for the first time that I think this was the first match that included Kenta Kobashi as his partner facing the name. I knew it, and it just went away. Tao, golly, I can't. I just lost the name, and I just searched for it on YouTube.
Yeah,
I pulled it up. I knew the names, and they just left me. But anyway, that's not important. So anyway, I'm ramping up to Saturday or Sunday, probably Saturday, because I generally kind of let Sunday be a day where the people can catch up on what they didn't watch.
Yeah.
So we will get to me posting the Misawa versus Kobashi 5-star. That's probably the greatest wrestling match I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So we're getting to that next week coming up.
Yeah.
I ask, because this is what you do.
Well, see here, if you're listening to this, today, we're recording February 2nd. On February 15th, which is a Wednesday, you will get to hear Carrie's Corner. It was recorded live for the patron group today as we're recording this.
Right.
But we want to give you a glimpse into what that is.
Right.
Because I feel like, again, patreon.com/doubledropkick, $1 a month. You can pledge more than that. But for just $1, the lowest amount, you get into this group, and it's just – it's completely different.
It's mainly me posting. It's not a lot of other people. You can still post in the group.
Right.
And we don't stop people from posting. But what you're really – like, I'm going around for you and finding great content and putting it in the group. So you can just come to the group and say, man, I like Misawa. This really came from Brandon and I having a conversation when he said, man, I'm just kind of now finding out about Misawa. So I said, well, like, I'm always – you don't want to attack everything great right at once. You know what I mean? Because you'll burn out. I mean, if I did Misawa and Brody. But Misawa was a good one to do this week. But coming up, I'm going to do a week where I focus on Georgia Championship Wrestling, 1 week where I focus just on managers, different stuff. I'm sorry, you got to look on your face like how are we doing on time?
We're good. No, okay, I'm sorry.
I thought that I was messing this up.
No. Good. You're doing no.
I don't want this to be a whole big commercial though. That's what I feel like.
I feel like we're at 170 something episodes, and if 170 episodes, we do one episode, that's a commercial. That's just saying, hey, we're putting money into this every month,
right? And that's really all we're trying to do is cover the costs.
Yes. Yes. Everything, like if you go on
but
the
But we
Patreon,
want to give you something for it.
Right. Everything. That's the thing. This is not just GoFundMe, give us money, thanks. From the lowest to the highest, you're getting something.
Yeah. I mean.
So anyway, let's get to some of these questions. So what we're doing today is we're taking some of these questions. Oh, dear heavens. This computer, oh, I love it today. But what we're doing today is we're taking the questions from Mark's First Carries Corner, mm-hmm. and we're going to throw those around today and talk about it with each other. The first question, okay, is if you're a regular listener of the show, somebody asked about Mark's in-ring career.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than rehash that, dear heavens, this computer has gotten a mind of its own.
Well, you know, as we can go, you can go back that we did the
shoot interviews.
The shoot interviews where we kind of half-heartedly called them shoot interviews, joking around, where you asked me some questions about me and I asked you some questions about you. And that's out there. There's one that's like Heath is basically for an hour. You'll hear me talk about my life. And then we did one on Heath where he talked about his life and different things that we, you know, so I'd go back and listen to that.
So there'll be a link to that in, the show notes, and if ever you know you're missing something, doubledropkick.com. You can go to the top, click on episodes, and they're all listed there. So one of the questions that Mark answered was about what's three movies that are great that people don't think about when they're thinking about great movies.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, I don't know. I know the ones you said in Carrie's Corner, but I didn't know if you had any other ones you wanted to share.
There's a good one I was just thinking about the other day. And I was actually, when I do Carrie's Corner today, going to make this the movie that I suggested, but I'll just go ahead and do it here. It's called A Face in the Crowd. And it's directed by Elia Kazan. And it stars Andy Griffith. And it was made a few years before the Andy Griffith Show came out. And it's one of those... It's very, a lot of people have said you need to watch it today because it kind of parallels Donald Trump, and that's absolutely not true. And the people that are saying that have probably just heard about the movie and not seen the movie. What it's about is a man, and it come out before the Andy Griffith Show, which is like, that's the strange thing about it, is they didn't have the Andy Griffith Show as a gauge for who Andy Griffith was.
Right.
So it was not that. I mean, it was just a movie with a guy in it at that point.
Right.
But when you see it after knowing his whitewashed, squeaky clean image, it's kind of a strange. It's complete. He's the complete opposite of Andy Griffith. But it is. What if Andy Griffith on the Andy Griffith Show, when the cameras turned off, was a megalomaniac? So it's kind of
right.
And it's like it's not about Donald Trump. It's about the celebrities who think that they should be able to influence the world politics,
right.
World policies, you and I. It's about people that don't buy their own groceries and
yes.
live in gated communities trying to tell the rest of us how to live because they have some celebrity.
It's about a guy, you know, it's kind of like a guy who flies everywhere on a private jet trying to warn me about global warming.
Exactly. And it's he develops this, like, cult following, and then he becomes a big star and everybody starts listening to him, and it just corrupts him, this power that he has. He's like, I can just say anything and they'll do it. Like, I tell them to go buy something and they go buy something, or if I tell them to vote for this guy, they'll vote for this guy, and then I'll be able to get
Crazy.
Him in, and then he'll be my, you know, I'll have access to the president. And it, so it doesn't represent Donald Trump at all.
Right.
It represents these celebrities who try to influence things because of their celebrity.
And there'll be a link to that movie through an Amazon affiliate link, another way to support the show.
I think it's out of print. I have a copy of it on DVD, and I could be wrong. But
I think you say that a lot.
What?
And it's probably true.
And I think it really is out of print. I mean, I could be wrong, but it comes on Turner Classics about once every 2 or 3 months. But that one, I suggested L.A. Confidential
yeah.
and Almost Famous. And
I've never seen Almost Famous, but it's on my...
Such a great movie, man.
It's on my list to do.
Such a good movie.
The movies that I think of are not going to be... They're not classics. They're just movies that really...
that you like.
That I liked. Mm-hmm. One was Sneakers with Robert Redford, which if you watch that show today, that movie today, so outdated as far as the technology and stuff.
Right.
But when you look at the era they were living in, it was cutting edge and stuff they were doing. Yeah. I really, really liked that movie. Great ensemble cast.
It's like watching Escape from New York, which is set like in
the future.
The future, but it looks, everything is like the old computers with the green
screens and stuff. Yeah. Fisher King, one of my all time.
That is a good movie.
Favorite movies. I think, what was the female lead? The lady one.
Marissa Tomei?
No. But she won Best Supporting Actress. Well deserved. Mark's going to look that up. But just, again, just a great, great movie that I've watched.
Robin Williams and Jeff Daniels.
Yes. Just, I don't know how Robin
Jeff
Williams.
Jeff Bridges.
Just awesome movie. And then
I always remember that scene where they beat him up, like being really brutal.
Yeah.
There's a scene where somebody beats him up or something.
Yeah, yeah, because he's trying to be a hero, and there's two scenes where he gets beat up.
Oh, okay.
Then, what was the third movie
Mercedes Rule?
Yes, that's it. Yeah, she was great. And I don't even know if she was ever in anything else. I mean, I'm sure she was.
She was, yeah.
But it's like she was in that and just – I stole the show, really.
She was in Big in The Last Action Hero.
She was in Big?
That's what it says.
When was she in Big?
I don't know. I'm just telling you what it says.
And because it's my show, I don't have to give you a third one because I can't think of one. I mean, my go-to is Tombstone, but everybody knows
Tombstone. And then The Warriors and Assault on Precinct 13.
See,
I haven't seen those.
And
I had another one. I can't even remember.
You know what movie I watched? And the first time I saw it, I didn't get it. I didn't really like it. And then it came on TV about a month ago. It was Training Day.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
And
that is a good movie.
Wow.
I'll tell you what I watched recently that was awesome. Speaking of the same director and the same leads.
Yeah.
Was The Magnificent Seven.
Really?
Oh, it was so good.
Really? Okay.
Yes, it was just incredible. Like, it's a slow burn movie where it's like an hour and 25, hour and 30 minutes of this guy's coming to town with an army.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to fight him. And then, like, the last 45 minutes of the movie is just a shoot 'em up, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just all-out action. It's so good. You know, it's based off of the old Yojimbo. I think it was Yojimbo, Seven Samurais. That's what it was, Seven Samurais.
I didn't like the original Magnificent Seven for some reason.
Yeah, it was pretty. I thought it was pretty good. The Seven Samurais is good too. Yojimbo is A Fistful of Dollars.
Here's another question: do you guys think it's harder for second or third generation wrestlers to break out of the shadow of their family legacy and create their own with today's sports entertainment or wrestling with old school wrestling?
I do in certain extent. Like if you look at Goldust, the lengths that he had to go to get out of Dusty Rhodes' shadow was basically doing something that, because he tried the Dusty Rhodes Jr. Stuff and whatever, the Natural and all that, and it was still the same gimmick, basically the cowboy, but the radical transformation that he had to do to get out from under his father,
right?
To get out from under that shadow. He was successful. A lot of times, athletically, they're like Charlotte is clearly athletically superior.
Yes,
to Sasha Banks and all
to her father.
To her father. Yeah. I mean, she's on another level. So when you're that good. But he also had another kid who was not athletic at all, and that was David, who tried to get in, and who was one of the worst, most awkward, stiff, nobody. I mean, his body language was awful. There was nothing good about David Flair in a wrestling ring.
Yeah. Nada.
And how could he succeed?
Yeah.
Arn Anderson said it best. If you wanted David Flair to be a wrestler, you should have took him off in a cave and trained him for 10 years. To work all that out.
Yeah.
And then debuted him.
Yeah.
Because to debut him while he was trying to train.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. Yeah.
Because nobody's good when they're training.
No. No.
You know, it's all about learning footwork and learning to control, get your body positioning right. Very few guys have successfully trained on the fly. Nikita Koloff is one of them, but what did Nikita Koloff do?
Yeah.
Nikita Koloff's gimmick was to stand there and look scary and hit a clothesline.
All right, well.
Goldberg.
Don't talk about, I want to talk about that aspect of Nikita Koloff in our 1988 episode, because I want to, you just.
By the way, we're still getting to the 1988 episode. Right. They are going to happen.
One of us isn't watching the wrestling, though.
Hell, one of us probably knows more about Sam Mushnick.
Right. Mark planned a year's worth of episodes on a 25-minute soliloquy he had on Sam Mushnick. I mean, let's be honest. We're going to do a year, and all he really wanted to do, rightly so, was speak about Sam Mushnick.
No. I didn't even know Sam Mushnick was going to show up. What I'm saying is, you're thinking about a month's worth of clips and how you can talk about it, and I know that I can do 25 minutes off the 15 seconds that they show Sam Mushnick on the air.
I can't believe they buried Sam Mushnick.
Right. But that's why this show works, because I can do that, and
I do my thing. I push the button.
I said that's how the show works. I wasn't trying to be insulted.
Here's another question.
Wait, but I'm not done with the second and third generation stuff yet. If you take somebody like Kurt Hennig's kid, who everybody has canonized, Mr. Perfect to an extent. That kid, there's no way he could have been successful when he looks like Larry the Axe Henning.
Right.
And he works like Larry the Axe Henning, what everybody expected him to be like. If he'd come out and looked like Dolph Ziggler and worked like Dolph Ziggler, he'd have been a main eventer. But he didn't. He happens to look like his grandfather.
Right.
And he should have tried to. And he did, I think, try more. But people were expecting Mr. Perfect 2.0. Yeah. Same thing with Ted DiBiase. Same thing with Cody Rhodes. Randy Orton was able to break out. Why? Because Randy Orton is genetically gifted.
Yeah.
Randy Orton's a guy that you could have dropped in Mid-Atlantic in 1976.
Yes.
You could have put him in All Japan in 1994. You could have put him in the WWF in 92. You could have put him in Crockett Promotions in 88. You could have put him in the Attitude Era, and he would have excelled. He would be at the same level that he is at right now.
That's right.
In any era, because he's that good.
Yeah.
He's that gifted. He's that talented. But he didn't have a father who was canonized. He had a father who was an associate of main eventers, but was not necessarily a main eventer himself, who was a high upper mid-card guy.
Yeah.
So Randy didn't have that, and he is completely different
than
what his father was.
Yes.
He doesn't come out with a cast on wearing a cowboy hat.
I wish he would.
Rough voice.
He would do a deal with a cast.
I've always thought he should, but you wish he would do it. I believe the reason that he is successful is because he's never tried.
Right. Right. No, you're right. You're absolutely
right. He has never tried that. Now, they put him with his father at one time, and it worked good.
Yeah.
Until it didn't work anymore, and then they were smart enough to separate him.
Right.
So he was able to transcend, but I think he was able to make it to that level.
Right.
Because there wasn't the expectation of who his father was, because his father was not a main event player.
Do you think that what happened with Curtis Axel made them treat Bo Dallas and Bray Wyatt? And what I mean by that is
not acknowledging,
completely disassociating them from their heavy family lineage.
Yes.
I was surprised in the group yesterday, people had no idea Bray Wyatt and Bo Dallas were Mike Rotundo's kids.
Yeah.
That Barry Windham, they were in-laws.
Well, but there again, if they had said these two guys are Mike Rotunda's kids, is it like, what's the expectation to live up to?
Right, just you'd be a good worker.
Honestly, it's what Bo Dallas is.
That's right.
It's a guy who's on the roster. Because look at I'm not saying Mike Rotunda wasn't good. He was a great athlete.
Yeah.
But he was also in the varsity club.
Yeah.
He was in a tag team with Barry Windham. He was IRS. He was Captain Mike Rotunda when he was dressing like he was in the Captain and Tennille, which he had been the captain in the varsity club.
Yes.
So then they took that and played off of it, and he started wearing a captain's hat. Sweater around his neck, like he was on a yacht party. So he was a main event guy who he was a mid-card guy.
Right. But he was a guy you could put him in a tag team championship situation,
right.
You
could put him with Ted DiBiase, and they could face Hulk Hogan and Brutus Beefcake.
Right.
They didn't have as much to live up to.
Right.
Dusty Rhodes' kids did.
Bray Wyatt already, character-wise, has done far more than his father could have ever dreamed of.
Oh, yeah, man.
But again, what we're saying is Mike Rotunda was where he was supposed to be on the card. He wasn't underrated. He's just rated.
He is what he is.
He is a invaluable piece of the machine.
You need somebody. I said the other day to somebody when they got – I don't know what I said, but apparently it offended them, and I didn't know what I was talking about. So I said, well, then everybody ought to get a turn.
Right.
The world title.
Right.
And we shouldn't have any mid-card matches. Every match is a main event.
Yeah.
You got to build a card. You got to have an opening match and an intermission and a popcorn match and a women. You got to have all
people
that
don't
on
understand
the card
that.
And they don't understand that. Everything's not a dang main event.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And everything shouldn't be working the main event style.
Right. Right.
You need a solid mid-card, and there's nothing wrong with making a career out of being a successful journeyman mid-carder.
Yes. Like, nothing wrong with that at all. And people feel like that if you get booked like that, the booker is being disrespectful to you. The booker that is writing you a check, paying you money, taking care of you, paying you to do a job. And that job is to play a character. That job is to get in the ring, to beat who he tells you to beat, to lose to who he tells you to lose to. It is a job like any other place in the world.
Where I work at.
Yeah.
There's a hierarchy.
Yes.
There's a man who runs our facility. He is the final word.
Yeah.
He is the Hulk Hogan of the facility. Or he's really the Vince McMahon of the facility where I work at. But what we're he's the Hulk Hogan. Now, he has I'm a mid-card guy.
Yeah.
Okay? I show up and I do things. If they put him on my job, he'd be lost.
Yeah.
He wouldn't know what to do.
Yeah.
It would tear his back apart.
You know your
role.
It
would tear his knees apart. It would tear his ankles apart. He wouldn't be able to keep up. He would have the worst day he's ever had if he had to try to run my job.
Right.
But you know who else would have a hard day trying to run somebody else's job? I would have a hard time trying to run his job because he's got a different set of skills than I have. I don't begrudge a man who went and got a master's degree in business.
Right.
And doesn't have to do the things that I do because I've got a high school education.
Right.
I don't begrudge him that, okay?
Yeah.
He comes into work every day, and he has to make decisions. I have to make decisions that affect – we might not make quite as much today.
Yeah.
I mean, we might not make as much of this product. Or I have to – okay, I need to stop off for a minute and investigate this.
Yeah.
I have to make those decisions. He has to make decisions that literally affect thousands of people's well-being.
Right. Right.
And he has to do that because he has a skill set far above mine.
Right.
And I don't begrudge him or knock him for that. I appreciate the fact that he comes in there every day and has that burden and that responsibility of running our facility.
And you go into work every day and you have an agreement of what you're going to get paid to do what you're paid to do.
Yeah.
And
he makes more money than I do.
Right.
He's got more responsibility.
But he does the same thing. He has an agreement.
Yep.
He's going to do a job. He's going to get paid a certain amount.
I agreed to take what they offered to pay me to do the job.
Yes.
That they pay me to do.
Yes.
Why should wrestlers get treated any different than I get treated or that you get treated?
Yeah. And here's the great thing, another similarity between wrestling and where you work or any other job, the better that you do your job, the better it is for the company. The better you do your job, profits go up. When profits go up, wages go up. So whether you or your boss do amazing at your job, it's going to benefit both of you. Same thing for wrestling.
Right.
If everybody knows their role on the card, and a person's role on the card may not be doing every flip in the book. It may be they go in there and they work a headlock, and they work an armbar, they work an 8-minute match, and they lose. But they're
That's their job.
But it's part of the story.
They were offered a wage to do it. They accepted that agreement.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, don't do it. Don't take the money. Don't show up. But when you show up, take the money, then you do what you're told to do. And it's not burying someone to say, this guy, it's all about making money.
Yeah.
If you put the dang title, if the main event is The Miz versus Curtis Axel, that's not going to sell as many tickets as John Cena versus AJ Styles.
No.
It just ain't going to do it.
No. No. I feel like if wrestling fans were making King Kong.
They'd say we're burying the airplanes.
Yeah.
They buried those airplanes in King Kong.
Yeah. And then they didn't listen to the fans. The fans wanted King Kong, and they killed him.
Yeah.
They killed him. They buried him.
That's it. They buried King Kong.
They buried King Kong.
Yeah. I don't understand it sometimes. I do understand it. I mean,
I don't understand it.
I don't understand it, but I understand it's a generational thing.
Yeah.
Everybody deserves something. I mean, it's just a generational thing, man. We didn't grow up thinking that everybody deserved. I mean, I've been to athletic banquets before, and I'm not very athletic.
Yeah.
But I played some sports early on.
Yeah.
And I remember going to those things, and I would never get a trophy, and all these other guys would. And those guys who got the trophies wind up being the guys who got scholarships to play in college. And all they got the trophies, and they got the scholarships, and they got the starting positions on the team because they were better than me.
Right, right.
Bernard Randolph, on his worst day, played football better than I could ever dream.
Right, right.
Of playing football.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm shouting out Bernard because he's a hometown guy.
That's
that
right.
Played for Clemson, national champion.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at Bernard. I don't think they buried me.
Right.
Because Bernard was good.
No.
But he did. You know, he didn't bury me. He was just better than me.
No, Mark. You're wrong. You're wrong. They buried you.
They did.
They buried you.
If Bernard hadn't always been talking about me and telling everybody that I couldn't draw no money.
So this will be the final example. So we talk about Carrie Trainum, Carrie's Corner, great friend of the show. Carrie, we really need you to be a patron of the show.
I think he might have been on my little league team.
But in high school, we had the student government.
Uh-huh.
And there were several positions. You had president, vice president, and secretary, and treasurer, and maybe one more. I don't remember if there were four or five.
You had the cowboy Bob Orton, which was me. There wasn't really anything, but I wasn't even in the student council.
But we knew, so like my first year, so for 3 years, I was student body treasurer.
Uh-huh.
That was my role.
Uh-huh.
Whereas Carrie, first year he's secretary, junior year he's vice president, senior year he's president. We knew our roles on the card.
Yeah.
I knew, okay, I probably said this before. Carrie and I have probably talked about this. I played with the idea of running for student body president my senior year. Or it would have been the end of my junior year. Played with the idea of running for student body president. But saw, hey, Carrie's been on this trajectory up. I can run as treasurer and be unopposed. And we can both.
You're right. I can guarantee my spot on there.
Like, so it was basically Carrie and I can run against each other, and one of us is on student body, you know, council or whatever. Or we can run separately and both be on it,
right,
and do the work together. And
make Pendleton High School so much better.
And when it came time,
y'all were really serious about that crap, dude.
When it came time, and I'll never forget this because he didn't have to do this. Senior Awards Day, student body president always gets to give a speech. And Kerry came to me maybe a week ahead of time. He says, I want you to do the speech with me. I'm going to say my bit. I'm going to call you up. He didn't have to do that. And I'm not going to cry. You're like laughing at me. But it was great.
No, it was great.
But if my son tried to be in the student government, oh, they'd say, he'll never measure up to Heath Mulligan. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
I couldn't even get elected to the student council. I tried like in the seventh grade and didn't get elected. And as with everything else in my life, I went, well, if they don't like me, screw them. I just won't run for student government anymore.
Here's the final question. And
he's not a very popular guy.
It wasn't that everybody liked you, though.
Oh, I agree. I think,
like, if you went to anybody in the school, hey, you know Mark Whitman? Oh, well, yeah, I know Mark Whitman. You like him? Well, yeah. Well, why wouldn't I like him?
I think you're just trying to make me feel better.
But then some of us are attention hogs, and so,
you know, maybe there's something to that.
But
that
I found
some people
out,
like, you like the attention, and I don't.
But there were sometimes I think I could be polarizing. That, you know, there's only so much, of Heath. There's only so much of Heath you can take.
I think I'm the one that there's only so much you can take.
I think we have a lot more in common, and I think it's the same for both of us for vastly different reasons.
No, I think, like I told my wife about you yesterday.
Okay.
What?
I don't know where this is going. You told her about me.
She ate breakfast with us this morning.
Yeah.
And she said, do you think, because she needed the truck.
Yeah.
And I won't go into all the details, but we got to pay a bill. And I got a couple of different bank accounts. Well, I needed some money transferred from one to the other to get the money. Because
Yeah.
It's just the way it is. I mean, sometimes it falls like that. I needed to get some money out of this account. But I couldn't do it yesterday, so she was going to have to go do it today so we could pay a couple of bills. And I showed she needed the truck. And I said, hey, would you, you know, she said, do you think Heath wouldn't be willing to give you a ride home if I take you over there?
Right.
So I asked him. I mean, I'm pretty sure he will. And so I sent you the message. Would you do? And you were like, hey, look, I'll meet you in Clemson so she doesn't even have to drive all the way over here. She said, he doesn't mind doing that. And I said, there are a lot of people in this world that pretend to be nice. What? You're not used to me saying nice stuff about you, are you?
No.
There are people in this world that will look you in the eye, pretend to be nice to you, and they don't mean it. And then there are people like me who will look you in the eye and pretend to be mean to you, but they don't mean it. It's just, it's my way.
Right.
Like I tell people, if I'm not giving you a hard time, there's probably a pretty good chance I don't like you.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there are people like Heath, who is genuinely looks you in the eye, is nice to you, and he genuinely means it. And that's what I told my wife about you, that when you, I said, if you look up the term salt of the earth in the dictionary, you'll find the definition of salt in the earth, salt of the earth, which is what Heath is.
Oh, well, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. The moral of that story, we're both genuine in our own way.
Yeah.
We're not fake.
I'll tell you. I can't, because he said he'd delete me from the group.
That's
Hofer
right.
had told me he had to intervene the other night because he knew where it was going. It's like, I didn't want to see you get kicked out of the group.
Here's the question. This is from Tommy Stanley. Thank you for supporting the show, Tommy.
Thank you, Tommy.
What cruiserweights on Raw or SmackDown, like Xavier Woods, for example, would you like to see start competing against the cruiserweights like Neville did? So breaking news, and so by the time you're listening to this, it probably already broke, that they're going to move the cruiserweights are not going to be as featured as much on Raw, that they're going to be strictly – I've heard the 205 show's not doing very well on the network.
Who would have thought?
But that they're going to move most of that to just their own show and maybe do some, you know, pay-per-view title defenses.
That's a good idea, man. I mean, Conor McGregor's a cruiserweight.
He's less than a cruiserweight.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's not – like, UFC has figured out how to market
Right.
And I think WWE just needs to kind of figure out how to market. I think that's what they're struggling with. But I tell you, if I was going to try to market it, who I would move over and make him a cruiserweight is Enzo Amore.
Yes.
I would absolutely have him get on that show and be him and Neville and him just talking. Because, I mean, Neville's great in the ring.
Yes.
And he is so goofy looking.
Right. But since they did the heel turn, I'm digging him a lot more.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I like him more. Yeah. I think what he's doing is good, but I can't get past his ears.
His
ears are weird looking.
Wowzers.
Yeah.
Wowzers.
You can get that fixed.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. I mean, if they can pay for...
I ain't the best looking guy in the world.
If they can pay for all the divas to get boob jobs...
You know, it's funny. I was thinking the exact same thing.
Why can't he get an ear job?
If you can get breast, why can't you...
I mean, even The Rock got breast reduction.
He did,
or something.
Yeah. He got, yeah. That's why, for people that don't know, he was wearing that workout outfit for a while because he had his bitch tits cut off. But that's what they're called. That's what they're called.
I don't... Okay. Okay.
That's the term.
Is that the medical term?
Medical term, no.
All right. If you're a medical professional, I want you to tweet me at Heath Mulliken. What's the medical term for...
Bitch tits.
Oh, son of a motherless goat. All right. So anyway...
That's what they... For years, that's what they were known as. When
can
somebody
we call
abused,
them something else?
Huh?
I just don't like that word.
Why?
I don't know.
Well, you can woo it out, but I mean...
Nah, I won't woo it out. Just because, yeah, because that's what... That is what...
That is what they were called for years. I mean, I don't know anything else to call them. I'm sure there is a medical term for it, but...
I probably am going to have to woo that out.
Ah, you will, and that's cool.
That's cool. That's... You understand. All right.
I kind of like it. I prefer the woo.
Woo! Because anyway, then it could be anything.
Right. I think it's
so
funny.
You know, I really don't know. I think Neville was really one that they got over there. I love what I've really enjoyed the cruiserweight stuff. They've given them some more storylines. Cedric Alexander has been getting over a lot. I mean, anytime I can see that guy on TV is
yeah,
great.
It's always good.
Never has a bad match.
No. Whether Enzo, they get Enzo is the key, and maybe AJ Styles.
AJ Styles is over the weight limit. He's 217
pounds.
Yeah,
he is. I was just saying that to get under your skin. Maybe Mark Henry.
Mark Henry?
Dude, I would have Mark Henry show up at 205 and just, wow. like he was going to kill everybody, and then those guys, somebody destroy him. I would do that with somebody.
Oh, that would be awesome.
I mean, I would get not even Mark Henry, somebody, just a big guy, show up at their show and like, get into an angle with somebody where they keep, you know.
Where he just keeps beating them up, and then you get to the big show and you get a really
good. And he beats them, yeah, and he gets beat. The big guy
slips on a banana peel, and there you go.
Yeah.
I think that would work. Xavier Woods was the example given.
I think Xavier Woods is good at what he does. I think the day that the New Day splits up, I think Xavier Woods is...
Unless they did something like this, if I wouldn't put him on cruiserweights until they split up, and then I think he would be great.
Yeah, he would do good.
I thought he was great when he was in TNA, when he was
Consequences Creed.
That's right. I thought he was really good, and
that's such a good name too. Consequences Creed.
Yeah,
is such a great.
And a lot of people don't realize he trained right here on 123. In Greenville with the great Scottish Prince Joshua Gillespie. So that's all the questions I've got here.
There was a bunch of other ones down, but I had to go. That's another thing. If you sign up for Patreon, I'm going to make a post on Monday. Just ask the questions on that post.
Yeah.
Cause because you asked those, but there was like seven or eight other questions.
Right.
I got one of them was, is kayfabe dead?
Right.
And the answer to the question is, until the guys in the business care enough to not take off and go watch wrestling together.
Yes.
Or get on Facebook or whatever after they've had a match and tell everybody how much
they
respected and enjoyed being in the ring with each other. Or until they talk with a fake Russian accent and then go on Total Divas and talk with an English accent, don't use a Russian accent, until the people in the business care enough.
Right.
to keep kayfabe, then kayfabe is dead.
Right.
And right. It will not come back until the people in the business care enough.
Right. Right.
Samoa Joe tweeted something the other day about breaking Seth or messing Seth Rollins' knee up, and everybody lost their mind. Wait a minute, is it a work? Or is it, he created doubt because yeah. He didn't go on Twitter and say, man, I'm sorry about that.
Yeah.
God, I feel awful.
Because
he gloated about it. And now the debate is it did he really get hurt or not? Because Joe said.
And I appreciate.
So is kayfabe dead? If the guys in the business give enough of a damn to protect it.
And then y'all boo on him for it?
Because as soon as he went online, everybody started going, wait, maybe this ain't. Maybe it is. Maybe it's not. I don't know.
I love it. And I love Seth Rollins' response. And Seth Rollins responded, hey, I'm hurt. Thanks for all the well wishes. I will come back, and I will take out the king. I will take out Triple H. I appreciate that Seth. Like, I put this on the group, and I said, it wasn't our group. It was another group. And I just said, they can totally use this to get everybody over more. It's like, if it's a legit injury, you use that.
Yeah.
You absolutely use that to get the guy over more. It makes Joe look like a monster, and his tweet made him look like a monster. And Joe knows Seth Rollins' phone number to text him privately to say, hey, bro, we good? He didn't got to do that on Twitter. So I agree with you. So patreon.com/doubledropkick. Listen, there's about 10 links in the show notes today for you to come and join the party. I mean, there's stuff going on. Mark answers your questions. You're going to see videos posted there.
I post at least one video, one match or angle or something every single day.
Yes.
At least one. I've already posted two today.
And it's older stuff. It's not stuff you see every day. It's stuff, no. I'll guarantee you, everything that Mark has posted in the past 2 to 3 weeks has never been in the Wrestling You Grew Up With Facebook group. Never.
It might have if I posted it.
It may have like, but your expulsion from Facebook.
Yes, yes.
Your hiatus.
Yeah, when I used to do Snot Bubble Saturdays and stuff.
Yes.
Like that.
But for the most part, this is stuff that hasn't been. And it's stuff. I'm in a lot of Facebook groups, a lot of them. Some of them either talk about the old stuff, some of them just talk about the new stuff, some of them talk a little bit about both.
Mm-hmm.
What you'll find a lot of times, as an administrator of a Facebook group, you find that people will go and they'll post the same stupid meme in about 8 groups at once.
And then they'll post it and then copy. I don't know. It's weird. I don't approve memes.
Yeah. So, unless it's got to be really
funny.
Good.
There are if some funny ones and I'll approve them.
If
it's like for John Cena or comment for Ron, that's not getting
no. Or if it's hit smiley face, hit angry face, hit frowny face. No,
you're posting that crap.
And listen, if you're listening to this, you've already heard why we don't accept Jimmy Snuka and Chris Benoit posts.
Yes,
and one of the most epic rants in show, dare I say, world history.
Was it that bad? I haven't heard it.
It was epic. I even said in the show notes, it's an epic rant that by now you would have listened to because that show will be live.
Okay,
on part 9 of the tournament, where it just. Woo, doggy. It was great.
It went off the rails somewhere.
It went off the rails. So anyway, you get so much. If you pledge $10.
I think what it is you and I have talked about, man. I don't want to get off on it again, but I think people just don't know who Nancy Argentino is.
No, you're right.
You know, and if they did, I don't think they'd have been posting Rest in Peace.
I agree with you. And yeah. Yeah, and that's all you really, you know.
That's all the people
need to know. But if you pledge $10 a month on Patreon, you get an autographed picture, like of a wrestling personality. But typically, it's an older wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
So like now, if you're joined, we're going through some DDP pictures.
Yeah.
That we got for you. Matter of fact, just sent some out a few weeks ago to Becker out in California and to Tommy Stanley. So thank you guys for your support. So we're trying to create a community for those people who financially support the show. And an episode like this, where we answer questions, is typically just going to be in that group. So if you're ready for a deeper wrestling conversation that's not like anything else, you need to become a patron of the Double Dropkick Show. Then we'll add you to the group. And then your life, your very life, the very air you breathe, the essence of who you are will be changed. I mean, it's just that simple. I mean, I make that guarantee. I mean, it's going to be awesome.
I take care of things now. Take care of things.
That's right. That's right.
I give you matches and angles and stuff like that every day.
Yeah.
And they're for a dollar.
For a dollar.
Really, I mean, you could do it yourself.
Right. But apparently nobody knows how to use Google anymore.
Well, I'm not trying to knock the people that are wanting to give us money, but if you don't want to do that, like...
Right, no.
Sometimes people just don't know what to search for.
That's
They're
right.
They're like, I've heard of this guy, Misawa. I've heard of him. Why is he great, and where do I find... I know that they know they can go to YouTube, but if you type in Misawa on YouTube, you're going to get
150
pages of stuff. What do you watch? What do you look at? I know, so I'll tell you.
Mark... This is how I'll sell it. Mark answers the questions you didn't even know you had about wrestling and does it in a thoughtful, intelligent, and friendly way. So, hey, we'd love to hear from you on Twitter. I'm at Heath Mulliken.
I'm at the DDK Show.
It's DoubleDropKick.com. It's where you can listen to all our episodes. It's where you can, hey, join Dollar Shave Club. It's where you can get a free trial to Audible. It's where you can shop at Amazon. It's where you can become a patron on Patreon. So, thanks for listening today. We got a lot to do today, and we're hitting it up. We're about to do a live show here in a few minutes. So, as always,
hopefully that won't go 2 hours. We'll see.
No. But when we get together after a couple weeks, we always do.
That's true.
A long episode, just kind of to catch up and just kind of shake the gristle off.
Shake the gristle off.
So,
We haven't talked about any of the stuff that's happened in wrestling over the past week yet.
No, that's going to be,
I kind of wanted to do it with you, man.
I'm excited. No, I'm glad.
Man, I feel like I stepped on your toes and maybe you didn't like it.
No, you did not. Like, complete oversight on my part. And so just wasn't thinking.
It's because I saw the tweet. I'm glad we're not doing a thing where we talk about the Royal Rumble and this. But I was like, but man, I watched.
But what I meant, we're not doing it as one as our regular episode.
No.
Right.
Yeah, I get that.
So anyway, as always, for the Double Dropkick Show, I'm Heath Mulliken.
And I'm Mark Whitman.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.